You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Welcome to the Earth Station MCU podcast, your home for all things related to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, including Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent Carter, the Avengers, Guardians of the Galaxy, and so much more. Visit us at our Facebook group, Earth Station MCU, at earthstationmcu.wordpress.com, or email us at earthstationmcu@gmail.com. Marvel Universe. My name is Jennifer Hartshorn, and welcome to episode 19 of Earth Station MCU. Captain America: Civil War was shooting right across the street from me this week, but that's not the only thing going on right now in the MCU. We also had the season finale of S.H.I.E.L.D. with some pretty big twists and turns that I don't think anyone really saw coming. So we're going to be talking about that in just a few minutes. Before we get started, I'd like to remind all of you that listen on iTunes or Stitcher to please give us some love in the form of reviews, and to check out our Facebook group or our WordPress site where you can leave feedback, as well as joining in on the conversation about everything cool going on in the MCU. John and I are also active on a number of other Facebook groups, including Earth Station 1, Earth Station Who, Marvel Cinematic Universe, other Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. cosplayers, S.H.I.E.L.D. Level 7, and many others. You can also reach us by email at earthstationmcu@gmail.com.
Right. Don't forget to remind people where we're going to be next weekend.
Yes, so next weekend, John and I are both going to be at Timegate, which is a primarily Doctor Who convention here in Atlanta, and it's going to be right off Route 85. I believe it's at the Century Center, Marriott.
Marriott Century Center, yeah.
Yep, exactly. And we're going to be doing lots of panels, lots of Doctor Who. I think I'm on five Doctor Who panels, but John and I are both going to be on the Marvel Cinematic Universe panel.
And you can also see me on Sunday at 4 o'clock for the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 2 panel.
Excellent, excellent. We're recording an episode of Earth Station Who. I've got a bunch of other ones. And just this week, I found out that I was going to be on the role-playing panel, which is kind of cool because in a former life, I was a role-playing game designer. So that's going to be a lot of fun. We are all looking forward to that a lot. And then the weekend after that, we have another convention. Now, are you coming down for MomoCon as well?
I don't think I can afford to do more than one. Obviously, my big costume project is draining a lot of my funds away.
Right.
And I finally have a picture of how much it's going to cost me. And it's just a bit over what I saved up for. So
Fair enough.
Anything extra is kind of getting cut out now.
Oh, totally understandable. Yeah, well, MomoCon's going to be here the following week, and I'm on a number of panels for those. I haven't gotten the times for it, but it's not as many as Timegate, at least. But that's going to be a lot of fun, too. So convention season has officially started.
I'm not ready.
Well, it's okay. You've still got, what, 100 days before Dragon Con or something?
Yeah, I know. No pressure, right?
Yeah, no biggie. So, yeah, lots of stuff like that coming up. Over this summer, we're going to be going to a slightly less frequent schedule of every other week, and we'll talk about that later on. But among other things, we're definitely going to do one episode that is to do with cosplay. So that will be a lot of fun. Alrighty, so let's see. We've got a number of things. After talking with some of you folks on the Facebook group, I do have some pretty awesome on-set information from the set of Civil War, but at people's request, we're going to save that and actually talk about the really spoilerific stuff at the end of the episode. So we will give you a warning when that's coming up, but it won't be until just right after we've done the ratings for this week. So, one thing that we've got for news, we already knew that Agent Carter was coming back, and that was super, super awesome news, but we're now hearing that it's going to be in Hollywood.
Yes.
So that's going to be different. Do you think Angie and Jarvis and the rest are going to be coming along?
I mean, I would imagine that Jarvis would still be a part of it. In fact, I think his, I want to say Howard Stark's mansion was actually the Playboy Mansion.
That's awesome.
In Agent Carter, but I could be wrong about that. But I think it's entirely possible that...
But he'd have to move the misses.
You know, it's part of the job. You're a gentleman's gentleman. You go where the boss is.
That's fair. Of course, the boss is probably not going to be there, seeing as Dominic Cooper is going to be on another show. But still,
that is true.
I'm definitely hoping we get to keep Jarvis. And it would make perfect sense for Angie, because Angie's supposed to be an actress, and I can
see
her.
Where else would you go to be an actress besides... Well, all right, I guess you could still do it in New York.
You could do it in New York.
In the 40s, but...
Right.
Especially this is the time when Hollywood is really huge. And
right.
That classic kind of 50s...
Yeah, the golden age of Hollywood kind of thing. So yeah, absolutely. I don't know that we're going to get to keep Agent Sousa, though. That would be one thing, the one person that I would think may not cross over. So...
I mean, who knows who's going to be in it? They haven't
True.
Said yet. All we know is that we'll see Haley Atwell again.
Right, right, exactly. So that's going to be different. I'm an East Coast girl. I loved the New York setting, and mm-hmm. I would love to have stuck with that. But I think you're right. I think that Hollywood offers a lot of opportunity for some very cool stuff.
And much easier for them to film things over there.
Well,
or were they doing? Were they in New York when they were filming?
I'm pretty sure they were. Yeah. They were already doing it in Los Angeles. But
that's what I thought.
Because at that, you know, if you're going to have to dress up a street to make it look like the 1940s, you know, you're going to have to be covering up so much stuff anyway that it's not like it's an advantage to be shooting in New York necessarily.
Right.
So anyway, so that's going to be interesting. We'll talk when we get into the S.H.I.E.L.D. part, I guess, about stuff that's coming up next season for S.H.I.E.L.D. Let's see, other stuff going on. There's a rumor about Matthew McConaughey doing
yes.
something in the MCU.
Apparently, yeah, because he's been talking. He said he has talked before to both DC and Marvel and
mm-hmm.
passed on a few scripts. So I think he's seeing how successful everything's going to be in the buzz and kind of wants to jump back into the mix.
Sure. And, you know, he is a great actor, and, you know, he's done a lot of really great stuff. He's in one of my all-time favorite movies, which is Contact, and I think he's awesome in that. Of course, I was a huge True Detective fan, so
right.
Mainly because of the Cthulhu stuff, but anyway. so, yeah, it'll be interesting. Do you have any kind of idea? Can you think of anything that he might be a good fit for that's going to be coming up?
It's really hard to say. I mean, I could see, you know, where he could be Adam Warlock, but at the same time, I think the biggest detriment to McConaughey in, mm-hmm. in anything is his accent. I mean, he's got that thick Texas, hey, everybody.
He does.
I like to dedicate this award to... all my friends and family, everybody that made this possible. All right.
Yes, he has that most of the. I don't know if he had that in True Detective, but yeah,
He's had in just about everything I've ever seen him in. You know,
yeah.
whether it was Dazed and Confused, which of course takes place in Texas,
right?
Or you know, The Wedding Planner, or,
and he's got it in Contact.
To Kill.
Yep,
that's just how he sounds.
Yeah.
He can't change his accent.
Gotcha. So tell us a little bit about you're saying Adam Warlock, right?
Yeah. I mean, I could see physically where he could match the resemblance of Warlock.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a
Doctor Strange character?
No, it's kind of a Marvel space character.
Ah.
So he'd be a character that fits more into Guardians of the Galaxy, and has actually been one of the members of the Guardians in the comics.
Cool.
Essentially, what his deal is kind of, he was an artificially created perfect person, and you know, he was originally created on Earth, but got himself into space and was created by Jim Starlin,
mm-hmm.
who really built up kind of the cosmic Marvel universe back in the 1970s,
mm-hmm.
and responsible for a lot of the characters that we've seen so far out there in space. And another particular interesting thing is that Adam Warlock is very much tied to the Soul Gem,
Yep.
which we haven't seen yet.
Yeah, we thought it was going to be in Vision, but no such luck.
Right, and it could be, I mean, the other possibility, if it doesn't show up in Guardians 3000, is that particular gem could show up in Doctor Strange.
Right, right. Yeah, and I'm betting on the Space Gem the Time Gem for Guardians 3000.
And that would certainly make more sense. Obviously, though, Adam Warlock does not have to have the Soul Gem if he shows up in Guardians 3000.
Right.
He's very much integrated and tied into the Infinity Gems and battling Thanos and obviously the Infinity Gauntlet and Infinity Wars storylines in the comics.
And didn't you mention to me a while ago that he might be related to somebody?
My running theory is that he is Peter Quill's father.
Ooh, that'd be cool.
And, you know, the description that Peter's mother provided of his father would certainly sound a lot more like Warlock than it would some of the others I've heard about, like the Collector.
Right, right, yeah.
Yeah, the description we get from her, the description we get from Nova Prime at the end of what Peter's possible parentage is.
Mm-hmm.
It certainly sounds like it could be something Warlock-ish if they, you know, maybe change his background a little bit.
To be from Texas.
Hi, everybody.
All right.
We got to stop Thanos.
That'd be great.
I apologize to our listeners for my horrible Matthew McConaughey impression.
That's all right. Oh yeah, but anyway, so that's just, you know, that's honestly at this point it's just a rumor. He's saying that he's been talking to people, but you know there are a number of people who've said that they were talking to Marvel about things, like that kid that was on the red carpet for Age of Ultron that was on the Disney show and stuff.
Yeah.
So speaking of which, we got news this week that I don't believe it hasn't been confirmed.
Right.
But there's a number of sources saying that Asa Butterfield is, in fact, going to be playing Spider-Man.
And I would tend to give that more credit. Usually these sources, when they leak things like, you know, Benedict Cumberbatch is in talks with Marvel for Doctor Strange, they've usually ended up being right.
We've heard several people mentioned as being in talks for Spider-Man. So this one's, until it's officially official, then I'm not getting too excited. But I think he was great in Ender's Game.
Right.
And I think that going with a Spidey story that is more of a young person's focus, I think he'd be great for that. So.
And Butterfield's 18 years old, so he's past the point where, you know, he's not, like, developmentally, he's not going to experience a sudden growth spurt on this. Even though he'll, you know, look older over time, which, to me, right now, he looks like he hasn't even started shaving yet.
Right. He looks maybe like 14 at best.
Right.
But,
and Peter actually is 15 years old when he starts being Spider-Man.
So yeah, so that'll be cool. You know, if assuming Spider-Man is going to be involved in Civil War, they kind of have to have somebody really soon now.
Yeah, hopefully we'll see something. You know, if that's the case.
Absolutely, yeah. And I'll get to this in the spoiler section, but this part not a spoiler. They mentioned that last Wednesday was, I believe, day 14 of an over 80-day shoot in Atlanta. So they are really just getting started at this point, and they've got a lot of time. Of course, you know, there's all kinds of things that will have to be done once they get their Spider-Man cast, but yeah, we'll see how that goes. And we've had a lot of names floating around for possible Phase 3 directors, and there's somebody now named Ava DuVernay, who they're talking about, and she is an African-American woman, so everyone's asking, is she going to be directing Captain Marvel or Black Panther? Which is kind of limiting. You know, she could be directing Inhumans or any number of other things. But
it certainly seems like for those movies, the people who have been talked about most are ones who reflect the characters that they're going to be directing. Because we've heard with the, because she directed Selma, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, I believe she did.
All right. Yeah. And I can't remember the other fellow's name who was thrown out there to possibly be a Black Panther director.
Mm-hmm.
I think the fellow directed the Butler.
Yeah, I think that might have been it. But but anyway, she's being mentioned. The article I'm looking at right now has talked about Marvel's announcing that they were going to be talking to her. Happened on the same day that the ACLU was talking to state and federal agencies to investigate Hollywood's hiring practices at major studios as being gender biased and whatnot. So, they've alleged rampant and intentional gender discrimination. So obviously that would be a good place to start for that. They mentioned also the fact that they have never had a female director on a Marvel movie. There was a woman, Patty Jenkins, I believe.
Yeah, she was originally going to be attached to Thor: The Dark World.
Right, but then she'd ended up dropping out. So it kind of is glaringly obvious that there's an issue there. I know that we talked about Angelina Jolie being up for possibly doing Captain Marvel. So yeah, we'll see. It'll be interesting because there's so many films that are going to be coming out in a fairly short space of time.
Right.
You know, when you look at all the ones that we've got on the schedule, and I'm trying to remember, have they said who's going to be doing Spider-Man?
They haven't exactly. I mean, there was a guy discussed, but then that was debunked, and
okay,
nobody's said anything definitively yet. And considering, I mean, that movie probably won't start its own production until next year.
Right, right.
We likely won't hear anything for several months.
Yeah, I mean, we know, of course, Civil War is filming right now.
Right.
The Infinity War movies are going to be the same ones.
The Russos.
The Russos, that's it, right.
Yep.
And, of course, James Gunn's going to be doing Guardians 3000.
Yep.
And I think that's it for announced ones so far.
Yeah, I think that's everything we've got so far. Mm-hmm. And we're just waiting to hear for more information.
Yeah, exactly. But it's interesting stuff. I don't think there was not a whole lot of other casting news. We didn't have another like Martin Freeman announcement this week or anything, but still, there's a lot of cool stuff going on.
And I think I can talk about this one since it's already known that he's in the movie.
Sure.
Somebody did leak some footage. I think today, if not yesterday, of Chadwick Boseman rehearsing a fight scene.
Yep. Awesome. Yep. Pretty much. Yeah. I mean, we've talked about the fact that everyone and their brother is in Civil War, with the exception of Hulk and Thor.
Yeah, but, Anthony Mackie said, it's Avengers 3.8.
Yes, exactly. There's lots of folks in that. I know that some pictures came out the other day also of Crossbones in his outfit. So that's pretty cool. I think he was actually on the from what I'm remembering of the picture, I think he was on the Wakanda set, but I could be wrong on that.
I think so, and also we've seen pictures of Chris now on the set,
right?
And also pictures of Anthony Mackie in his Falcon getup,
right? Right.
Have been, you know, the ones that are really nice and were obviously intentionally leaked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly, and it helps that particular area that they're shooting is right next to CNN, so
yeah,
it gets a lot of traffic. So there's quite a few things being leaked out of there.
Probably a few people with telescopic lenses in their offices CNN Center. Just, all right, what we got over there, Jimmy?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it's the Falcon.
Exactly. Yeah. So there's that going on. I because I'm living in Atlanta and I'm in the theater community, I get all of the casting notices and things that I'm signed up for. As of right now, my job is not, you know, such that I can just take a day off and go be an extra, but right, I still am interested in seeing it. And the scenes that are being filmed down at that in the area called the Gulch, basically down by CNN, they specifically have been asking for Africans and African Americans for an African marketplace scene. And
right, and we've seen some of the pictures that have been released of the filming of that set.
Right. And it, to me, it looks very much like the Wakanda that we saw in right. Age of Ultron. I unfortunately allowed myself to get sucked into a little bit of an internet discussion, shall we say, with somebody who was like, that's not Wakanda. And I'm like, yeah, it's an African marketplace in some other country in Africa that they just happened to be going to for this movie. Come on.
Those are the people who are absolutely right all the time.
Yes, yes. You know, they should just listen to me because I know everything. So.
Yeah, I know. It's the pot calling the kettle black for
yeah,
me.
Exactly. Yeah. So. So lots of cool stuff shooting around Atlanta. There, I'm trying to think what we can say that is not spoilers, and I'm kind of tripping over myself because I think most of it is, other than the Wakanda stuff. I know that Scarlett Johansson and I think it was Chris Evans were seen going out to dinner at a local restaurant, so that was pretty cool.
And Chris on the set there in the Wakandan market was was being a good guy, and he was actually handing out water bottles to the extras.
Right, to the extras, which is just awesome. I mean, he's he's like Captain America in real life, too.
I remember just watching one of his interviews and basically saying Captain America's kind of who I wish I could be, like my perfect self.
Yeah. I mean, he is. He's like, you know, the ultimate Boy Scout. Speaking of which, he was, of course, while Captain America may not have to work out to get that physique thanks to the super serum, Chris Evans definitely does, and he was seen at a gym in Atlanta, so that was also pretty cool. I've lived in Atlanta for 20 years at this point. The film and video and movie stuff has only come in the last couple of years, but I really haven't seen as much stuff going on around town as I have for Civil War. I mean, we've got The Walking Dead that films here, and the originals, and Vampire Diaries. I know Sleepy Hollow is going to be filming here starting this summer, and there's just tons of them. There was actually the Chinese restaurant just down the road from me had a Billy Crystal movie that was filming there a little while ago, but
Billy Crystal's still making movies.
I know, right? Imagine that. I mean, it was who knows, but so it's exciting. It's an exciting time to be living in Atlanta. You know, all of us are really hoping when you figure what the number of days that they're supposed to be shooting for, it is not quite going to take us to the end of August, but obviously, we are all crossing our fingers and hoping that we can get some of these folks that have been spending their summer in Atlanta to come out to Dragon Con, because that would be awesome. But, I hardly ever hear about any of the Marvel people doing conventions other than San Diego.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty rare. Some of them, they will come out to, New York Comic-Con.
New York Comic-Con,
New York or San Diego, and they just don't really come out to us that much. I can't think of anybody from a Marvel. All right. I won't say that nobody from a Marvel movie has ever been to DragonCon because we've gotten Michael Rooker, we've gotten James Gunn came last year, and Sean Gunn as well, who was Yondu's kind of right hand man.
And also stand-in for Rocket. So
yes. So I mean, it does happen, and it was it's great to have a guy like James there, or Michael, or Sean, because they're all very good with fans.
Right. They're very, very personable and stuff. Obviously it would be great to get Downey out to something, but not holding my breath on that one.
Yeah, can you imagine what the autograph line would be for him?
Oh my God, it would be worse than John Barrowman. It would be probably worse than William Shatner. So anyway, we've got a lot of stuff to look forward to. I'm going to probably continue to have a good bit of news about stuff going on around Atlanta in the next few months. So a lot to look forward to. And we will talk about the secret scene that was filming right next to where I work this week at the end of the show. So I think anything else you can think of for news?
For news? No, I think that really covers it lately.
I think that
it's kind of been a quiet time, except for what we've listed.
Exactly. There's lots of Civil War news, and that's mostly what everybody's been talking about, as well as there's been a ton of stuff posted about the event, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. finale, which
right.
We're going to talk about.
Oh, and of course, Age of Ultron has gotten over, has earned over $1 billion at the box office. Then.
Yes, it has been doing exceptionally well all over the world. Although it dropped to third this weekend, I've heard that.
Well, that's going to happen. We had Mad Max Fury Road came out and
Pitch Perfect 2, which actually beat both of them, which. There's a small part of my heart that was, as much as I love Marvel and Mad Max, I was like, yes, excellent. So, it's fine.
You know, third week you can drop a little bit.
Yeah,
okay.
That's fair. And it's still just going to keep making money, you know, hand over fist. Not to mention all the merchandising and everything. So, this is definitely. I'm sure that Joss got a cut on this, so I'm sure this is gonna leave him in good shape, even if he doesn't do any more Marvel movies, which apparently he's not going to. So.
And you mentioned merchandise. One thing that did get released this week is Hot Toys released their images, their full images of their Vision figure that's coming out, and that will be way too much money for me to afford.
Right, but I think I and about six other people immediately sent it to you when they saw it.
Yeah, I think I got at least five people that day like, hey, John, have you seen this yet?
Yes.
Yeah.
They actually also did this week, also the same outfit came out with their War Machine design too.
Yes.
And that looks just amazing. And I'm really happy that some of the characters that are considered second tier that are now becoming, you know, the new Avengers team are getting their own stuff. So, I mean, I don't think there is a War Machine official movie toy out there. Is there?
Did they have some for
Iron Man?
I thought they'd come out with some during Iron Man 2.
They may have. That's possible. But I know that, you know, it's been one of those things, like Black Widow, that, you know, the merchandise is out there, but you really have to hunt for it. So.
And I do have the action figure of his Iron Patriot outfit from Iron Man 3.
Awesome. Glad they ditched that name, but
yeah,
definitely.
War Machine rocks, all caps.
Yes. Oh, I've had some silly passwords too, so I can't talk. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will be talking about the 2-part season finale of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. SOS.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Cornflake.
So we host the Flopcast.
We cover nerd and geek subjects of all types, but this is sort of a sillier, goofier side of geekdom, I'd say.
We love to talk about music, especially funny music.
We talk about comic books, conventions.
Saturday morning cartoons.
Oh, yeah. I'd say if you're going to put the Flopcast in Brady Bunch terms, we're like the Cousin Oliver of podcasting. And we do a ridiculous new Flopcast episode every week.
What is wrong with us?
We really have nothing else to do. We're part of the Earth Station One Podcast Network.
And you can find us at flopcast.net.
Welcome back, and now we're going to be talking about the 2-part season finale, SOS, which was, it was cool. You know, it's nice when you don't have to wait a week between the 2 parts of a 2-parter, and I think that it made for a good season finale, and boy howdy, they had a lot of stuff to wrap up, and it was amazing the amount of stuff that they got through in 2 hours.
Oh, yeah, that was something else. Just the full thing, and just a wonderful cliffhanger.
Yep. And I mean, there were so many things towards the end there.
Yes.
I mean, I guess first we should probably talk about your man Coulson.
Yeah. You don't know how many jokes I've gotten in the past few days about that. And my friend Billy even sent me, like, he I thought he was just going to just send me something he had lying around, but no, he actually went on Amazon and bought me a sling
to
use for my costume.
Uh-huh.
And it's just like he was just so tickled by that scene.
Yeah.
He's just like, here you go. This is going to provide me with a lot of humor to see you walking around with this thing on.
Yeah, I remember we were talking about it right afterwards. I think you definitely need to go with gray makeup and go ahead and do the crumbly stone thing going on there.
I'm thinking about it. We'll see. I mean, it won't be for next week, but it could happen by Dragon Con or something.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, in fact, I could probably do the makeup for that, and we can hit it with set spray, and it won't run. And yeah, we'll take care of it. But you think he's gonna end up with like a cool bionic hand or something by next season?
I don't know. You know, was it you or was it somebody else who told me who suggested to me that maybe Dr. Cho could make him something?
No, I didn't. But that's a good point. I mean, gosh, she could probably make him a whole new hand from scratch that was non-bionic. So that'd be cool. he's come back from the dead already. Why not just start replacing parts, right?
Yeah, and it goes in line with something else that a friend brought up with me, that there's been some kind of Luke Skywalker getting the hand cut off illusion in just about every Marvel film so far. Everything Phase 2 has included some kind of Star Wars hand chopping reference.
Exactly. And I thought, well, that can't possibly be true, but I'm trying to remember all of them, but there was the Extremis thing in Iron Man 3 with getting cut off.
Right, there was Loki's deception of Thor getting his hand cut off.
Right, absolutely. What about Guardians? Was there anything in Guardians?
Groot gets his arm cut off at one point.
Oh, of course, that's right.
Of course, Claw gets his arm ripped off by Ultron.
Right, yep. So,
a friend of mine tried to tell me, and I didn't remember this specifically, but Nobu and Daredevil, apparently.
Oh, yeah, actually.
And their fight.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So, yeah, it's happened in just about every film and every story in Phase 2.
So, sort of like the Stan Lee cameo kind of thing. So, we've got that. And, it's with, if you think of Phase 2 as being, like Empire Strikes Back,
right.
That's a nice little homage there.
Who's going to lose their hand in Ant-Man? That's the question.
Yeah, well, Ant-Man's, now that's in Phase 3, right?
Right.
So they don't.
No. Actually, it's Marvel has said that is the end of Phase 2.
Oh, okay.
It's actually Ant-Man, not Age of Ultron.
Huh. Okay. Well, that's fine. Our other little Empire Strikes Back / Return of the Jedi thing. I could not believe it when Xia Ying starts going on about the rule the universe by my side.
I know. I caught that too. And you remember? I messaged you like, wait. Did she just give her
the Luke Skywalker?
You can rule the galaxy as father and son did?
Exactly. Yeah, that was one of the few things that really pulled me out of that episode and was like, really, is this a thing that is actually happening? But that was a little cheesy, but we had lots of cool stuff happening. Mm-hmm. Boy, Xia Ying, not a good person.
You spend the whole, like, her and Ward both, I think, in the past couple of episodes have gone from possibly being either misunderstood or even sympathetic to not sympathetic at all.
They're bad, bad people.
They are evil and bad, rotten throughout.
With a lot of this stuff with, like, Xia Ying, it was like, okay, well, she's trying to protect her people. But, dude, when you find out she's like an energy vampire, that's, like, horrible.
And, what Cal was saying is it used to be, an old volunteer who was about ready to die anyway would be the person to rejuvenate her. Now she just takes whoever. And apparently he killed that entire village in order to give her the power
to put her back together, basically.
To come back to life.
Exactly. And that was, again, that was something where we figured that, they were just trying to protect Skye. No, that wasn't them trying to protect Skye. That was just them being terrible, terrible people.
Yeah.
So speaking
Although Cal actually does get more sympathetic.
Well, yes and no. He does come around to being on the S.H.I.E.L.D. side, but we definitely have, like, some ups and downs for him over the course of these two episodes. They were throwing around the word monster a lot with regard to him. Both he was saying that and Phil. And it's interesting to see how that ties in with the conversation about that using that word in Age of Ultron. because, of course, Natasha used that to refer to herself, and, of course, Bruce
Banner
did.
Banner does.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it raises the question of, you know, what makes somebody a monster? Because, obviously, you know, Natasha and Bruce are people that we root for. They're right. The heroes, but, you know, Cal and Jia Ying are... They're bad guys, you know, and Cal does get redeemed to some degree, but he, you know, he has his version of hulking out, and we get to see him in full on Mr. Hyde mode.
Yeah, and you know, we do when talking about the word monster and that being thrown around, there are a lot of people who do things for the right reasons but do them the wrong way.
Right.
And that ends up being, like, that kind of the ends justify the means ends up making them into a monster, which is essentially what happens with Cal, is that, you know, he put his wife back together and she came back wrong.
Yeah.
And he, like, everything he did from then on was in the hope that if I put my family back together, she'll be fine again. She'll be her old self. But
right.
he comes to the kind of the realization that's never going to happen.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's the doing it for your family thing. That's, you know, that's the Walter White argument, you know. That's, right. that's, you know, we are sympathetic towards that, and yet, you know, if you do horrible, horrible things, you know, that's, that they're still horrible things. I thought that very creative on Phil's part to ram him with a car. I thought that, that was a great, great idea. I loved the bit, again, going back to Banner, you know, we've got the thing in the first Avengers of him saying, you know, that's my secret, I'm always angry.
Yeah.
We had the opposite with Cal going, you know, when he was completely hided out and screaming and everything, he said, "This is me, calm, Phil."
So yeah, like, and I do love the way that he just, like, uses Coulson's first name almost in kind of like a mocking buddy sort of sense.
Exactly, exactly. They had fantastic chemistry. And, of course, he's the first person after Coulson or since Coulson to get the Tahiti treatment.
Right.
So,
I mean, it's kind of a nice ending for him, the way he does his kind of heel face turn.
Mm-hmm.
Realizes how evil his wife is, comes to the side of good, and has to do the horrible thing of putting her down in order to help save the day.
Although being this being, you know, a superhero thing, and given what her powers are, she could still come back. You know, if it
could happen. I mean, we do actually get a body, but it's unlikely. You know, of course, he snaps her neck, then crushes her spine to doubly make sure that she stays dead.
Which is true, but she got cut up into pieces before, so.
That is true.
Who knows? But yeah, at least it is, as Word would say, at least it is closure for now. So, I thought the little, you know, once we get everything together, it's going to be a magical place. I think everybody in the audience is like, no!
At least it's not going to suck for him as much as it did for Phil.
Oh, of course, of course. He's actually, you know, it's an interesting thing that comes up in fantasy stuff like this, where you have the option to give someone a whole new life, and to see what they do with it. So.
And I mean, and who knows what's going to happen in the future? Because Phil was able to remember.
Right, right. That'll be interesting when and if that happens.
Mm-hmm.
So another character that we've seen on a journey from ambiguous to bad to possibly good and all around the block is, of course, Reyna, a.k.a.
Yes.
Sonic the Precog. And, you know, of course, when she started out, she was the girl in the flower dress, and she was just kind of a go-between between them and the clairvoyant. And she was doing it because she thought that the clairvoyant, which, of course, ended up being not so very clairvoyant, was going
this
to...
This guy with very good intel.
Exactly. Was going to give her magical powers. And so she's somebody who her whole life has felt like that was her destiny.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, she gets what she wants, but not really, because she gets powers, but then she becomes crazy hedgehog-looking woman, and that doesn't go over so well. And then, for the last couple of episodes, it seemed that she was very adversarial towards Skye. And then, towards the end, she actually ends up kind of being a good guy.
Yeah, I mean, she has her own, heel face turn, in part because of her dreams and the fact that she sees this is what needs to happen, this is what Skye is going to become.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when she gives a whole speech to Jiang over, my grandmother always told me I would be an angel, and mm-hmm. angels are guardians, but angels are also heralds.
Yes, messengers. Yeah, that was a fantastic speech for her to go out on just after that. And, you know, it's always ironic whenever you have any kind of precog character that gets killed by surprise, you know? So it definitely made me think of...
I don't think it was a surprise to her, though.
Well, she knew that she was never going to see Skye again, but I don't think she was expecting to get shivved right at that particular moment.
I don't know, because the things I read basically say that she knew what was going to happen mm-hmm. when she met with Jiang, so she told Skye, so Skye would be able to witness it and see how evil her mom actually
That's
is.
That's true. But, I had a Quicksilver bet you didn't see that coming in a moment there.
Mm-hmm.
But she kind of, you know, redeems herself in the end, because she's the one that really shows Skye what a horrible, horrible person her mother is, and gets Skye back on the good guy's side.
Mm-hmm.
So we had some very good fight scenes in this. I'm always
Indeed.
A fan of good fight scenes. We had, of course, Cal when he hulks out and goes after Fitzsimmons and Coulson, and they, you know, dump like, I don't know, like...
Yeah, they dump all those icer rounds into him. I was like, oh, I can't feel my legs.
They feel tingly. Yeah, exactly. we had a fantastic fight scene between Bobby and Ward and 33. That was awesome. I love any fight that has that much property damage is a good fight, as far as I'm
concerned.
And just
to keep in mind, I mean, you know, this was Ward had done his thing where he, you know, gave her the combination of the paralytic and the painkillers so that she would get hit with all that pain at once.
Yeah.
So that's the condition that Bobby was fighting under and nearly beats both of them.
Exactly. I mean, she's amazing. We had the fight between Skye and May, and I think Skye held her own a little bit longer than I expected her to, because, I mean, May is pretty much the biggest badass on the show.
And, of course, Skye has to cheat a little bit in the end to use her powers.
I was kind of surprised it took her that long, but yeah, eventually at the end she's like, all right, no, you're not wanted here, boom! But she just, you know, she has enough control over her powers that she's really just, you know, giving her a push rather than, you know, like potentially killing her or something. So, so that was good. And then, of course, we had the Fitz and Coulson and Mac versus Gordon one, which was great at the end, too. Mac had so many good lines. You know, at first I was like, oh, I'm not sad he's going away, but I'm glad he's staying now, because, you know, it's like, so you must be Gordon. Yeah, who are you? I'm the guy who kills Gordon. Yes!
It's like, that was so badass. And I love, you know, in the end, the four-way fight, I guess, between, you know, Gordon versus Mac, Fitz, and Coulson.
Yeah.
And that brief moment where you think, oh, God, Whedon has done this again and killed a favorite character when you see the pipe coming out of Fitz, but then it camera pans around and it's stuck in the middle of Gordon instead.
Exactly. And this was, while Joss did not do this, this was a Jed and Marissa episode.
Yes,
so,
and Jed is just as likely to do these things.
Cut from the same cloth, but of course after that is right when he Coulson loses his arm. So that was kind of terrible. Mac had a couple of other good lines. The one where he's talking with Skye and she's telling him about how, you know, how evil her mother is, and he says, "I thought it was bad when my mom started watching Fox News."
Take that.
That was great.
I also loved his line after he dealt with the ginger ninja.
Yes.
She took a shot at him, and he was like, "I've got to get off this boat."
Yes. Yes. And the Ginger Ninja was awesome. That was probably the line after Science Biatch that was getting the most reposts afterwards, because yeah, the Ginger Ninjas were awesome, and they did a lot of, when I went back and was watching this for a second time, I was really appreciating a lot of the camera work in this, which was really very sophisticated stuff that you don't normally see on a TV show, even something yep. like S.H.I.E.L.D., in terms of doing the 360-degree pans around the room. And in that fight between the Ginger Ninja and Sky, it was basically a small-scale version of, you know, in The Matrix, the Mr. Smith fight. You know, because she was basically fighting, what, like six of them? Mm-hmm. And they did an amazing job with that. They also did some slow-mo stuff. And sometimes I don't like that, but in this case, I thought it was really, really well used. And it was also showing you that, no, they all do have that girl's face. They just did amazing effects with that. So I was super impressed with the fight scenes in this, and I think that she was a very cool bad guy as well.
Yeah, but you know, as Lincoln says, and of course Lincoln has his own kind of turn,
right?
And realize, like, as soon as Jiang starts killing people off,
right,
for real, and Lincoln's like, "Well, hold on a second,
yeah,
I didn't sign up for this."
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he defeats the Ginger Ninja when he grabs the pole and he's like, "Look." No, and he tells me, "Don't kill her, we're just misunderstood." Grabs the pole.
Yeah, exactly.
Shocks her into unconsciousness.
Yep, yep, absolutely. And so we touched on this before, but you know, with Bobby's kidnapping and Ward showing that he is not misunderstood. He's a terrible, terrible person. And, you know, a lot of people have said, "Oh, he didn't kill his dog. Oh, Garrett was the one that shot his dog." No, in this one, we find out that, in fact, yes, he did shoot his dog.
Yeah, I can't defend him or support him anymore. He's clearly just been a terrible person the whole time.
Oh yeah, now in his whole thing of saying, "Oh no, you should give her another chance and accept her back into S.H.I.E.L.D. and blah blah blah."
Yeah.
That was totally a trap. Now, on the other hand, the other thing to bear in mind there is that, you know, I was expecting that, you know, when Agent 33 was like, "Yeah, you sold me out to Hydra," I was expecting that there was going to be some explanation in there. And Bobby was like, "Nope, I totally did." You know, yeah, I had to sell my cover.
Hey,
and so
it was more like, "Hey, I didn't know you were there."
Well,
I mean, somebody might have been there. I figured somebody might be there, but I didn't know it was you.
Right.
And I didn't know what was going to happen to you.
And you know, and when she's like, "Well, why didn't you get me out?" She's like, "I couldn't, because that would have blown my cover and I had a more important mission." Mm-hmm. So on the one hand, I had that little moment of going, you know, drifting over towards 33's side and going, "Oh, well, yeah, that's really not cool what happened to her and stuff."
Yeah.
But, yeah, Ward rigging that thing up so that it would kill whoever walked in the door. That's just terrible, terrible. But
yeah,
he did get his comeuppance at the end there, yeah, where he ends
courtesy
up killing
of Melinda May.
Exactly, and that was a brilliant move on May's part about, you know, don't stand down until you see my face, knowing exactly what 33 was going to do,
mm-hmm.
And then of course Ward's the one that kills her. I mean, he has been building towards, you know, birth of a supervillain status for some time now, from being, you know, a reluctant follower, you mm-hmm. know, and at this point, he's taken over Hydra, basically.
I mean, when we get to that at the end where he's in the bar and the guys are coming up to him like, "I need lists of everybody who's available."
Right. And they're like, all the head people are gone. Of course, we know that Zemo's going to be in Civil War, but Ward is like, "Fine, I'll be in charge then," basically. So, you know, there have been some articles that have come up about him being the big bad for next season. So,
what about Liss, though? I mean,
That's true.
Yeah, didn't he get away? In Age of Ultron?
You know, I think he did. I mean, they blew the place up, but I don't think they really gave us a clear yes or no on that. So,
yeah, although, you know, it certainly seems like now that Age of Ultron has passed, he's kind of served his purpose in the Marvel Universe.
True, true. I guess we'll see. And then, of course, at, you know, by the time, it was funny, when I was going back and rewatching it, we kept getting to things in the second episode where I was like, yeah, I think this is right near the end. And then I'd look and I'm like, wait, we're only 20 minutes into it. There were so many.
There's more stuff.
Exactly.
Coming.
There were so many places where it seemed to be wrapping up. You know, like the fact that when Fitz finally works up the courage to ask Simmons out, and I was like, oh, this is right at the end, and no, there's actually.
And then there's another Whedon bait and switch.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, they just... He gets called up to go on the mission.
Right.
Then, you know, obviously we get our very shocking ending.
Right. And, you know, after we've had a bunch of shocking things with Bobby getting shot and Phil losing his arm and everything like that. And then the last 2 seconds, oh my God, what was that?
That's exactly the question I was asking. I was like, what was that?
Yes.
What the heck was that?
Exactly. And I don't think it was what the heck. But,
well, I didn't say that exactly. I'm doing this for FCC reasons.
That's fine. There is no FCC on the net. But anyway, we don't want to get that explicit rating.
But the FCC won't let me be. Won't let me be me.
That may be the case, but let's move on. So,
okay. So
what do you think that monolith was?
I mean, it's hard to say. I think it may, you know, judging by the things that were cut into it, maybe it's what the obelisks are made out of.
Oh, you mean the diviner,
like
things?
Yeah, like some kind of original materials that were reshaped and remade into those. But
it's supposed to be something you use a weapon against in humans,
yeah,
right?
It's something Kree,
right?
And it's something that could kill all the Inhumans.
Mm-hmm. So,
and it obviously doesn't change its shape, but beyond that, we really don't know that much about it.
Well, I mean, it can turn into liquid, and it can, you know, roll halfway across the room and pull you in.
Yeah.
So, but it goes back to that shape. So, yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of things that people have suggested. You know, they interviewed Elizabeth Henstridge about it, and she was like, I don't know. They haven't told me yet. She's like, I have heard fan theories. I have heard all kinds of things, but as of right now, I don't know. You know,
we got to wait until August to find out what the heck it is.
Is it August? I thought it was going to be longer than that.
Oh, well, it might be September. Yeah, August, September is usually when these things happen. But, yeah it's usually like...
sometime in the fall.
Late September or early October.
Yeah, probably.
Latest.
So yeah, we don't know at this point. Some people are saying they think it's like a teleport thing. Some people are saying that it's going to give her some kind of magic Kree powers or something. I don't know. There's so many possibilities for what it could be. We really don't know. It's very, very up in the air as to what that is.
Right.
It doesn't seem to be a clear thing that it matches to in the comics or MCU or anything. So yeah, it's a mystery. We're going to have to see what's going to happen with that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I think any other major plot lines?
Well, we are missing over one thing. What happened to all those Terrigen crystals?
Oh, yeah. Oh, good point. Yep. Forgot about that. Personally, I don't take fish oil. I take krill oil. So I'm just saying. I'm all
you
right.
Know, the doctor once recommended I take fish oil, and I was in Walmart today, and I just kind of took a picture of it.
Yes.
And posted,
yep.
Like, I wonder if I should try this. And people are like, no, don't do it.
Yeah, so somebody pointed out that it's very much like the little subplot in Incredible Hulk with the sodas.
Yes.
That get Hulk blood in them and end up killing, what's his name, Stan Lee. But...
we don't know that it kills him. Doesn't, as they say, it didn't agree with him.
Right. Fair enough. I don't know if that's, I mean, what are they going to do with that? I mean, it's not like there's going to be millions of people turning to ash all over the world. It definitely is a neat plot point to leave for next season to see what's going to happen with that. Obviously, none of our good guys know that it's happening at this point. So yeah, that'll definitely be interesting. All right, so I guess time to do some readings. So on a scale of 1 to 5 shields, 1 being terrible and 5 being, oh my God, best day ever, how would you rate this episode?
This was a 5,
mm-hmm.
Just hands down, for the amount of action that we got, the character development, the twists at the end. Everything was just incredible, and I loved specifically at the end kind of the Secret Warriors reference. Or,
yes.
You know, it could be either of Secret Warriors or Secret Avengers, depending on how you see it. But basically, S.H.I.E.L.D. having its own super team led by Sky.
That's pretty cool.
I mean, who knows? That could end up being our super secret mystery spinoff.
True. I don't think they're going to be doing any spinoffs in the immediate future, but that could be something coming down the line, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
I'm close to a 5, but I'm going to give it a 4.5. And it's not that there was necessarily anything wrong with it. I think the twists were fantastic and everything. It's just, you know, something that I guess I haven't really gone into on this show a whole lot, but that is kind of an issue for me, and many people have voiced this. Does it all have to be about Sky? I mean, it just seems like so much of this show centers on her. And
Marsha.
I know, Marsha. So, you know, it would be nice. I mean, we do have a whole team here, and there wasn't a lot of stuff that, you know, Fitz and Simmons got to do, really, in this episode that was cool. You know, and it's, I mean, it is what it is. For an episode of S.H.I.E.L.D., it's a 5, but I'm not 100. I would have liked to see other characters get more screen time in this, because with it being the end of the season, you know, there's more stuff going on than just Sky's plotline. And
that's true.
You know, and I know, you know, I was explaining it to somebody today, you know, that you always have to, in a series, have to have some audience surrogate character who's new to the group and asks all the questions they can get at the exposition.
Exactly.
Which was fine for season one, but we don't need that now, and so much of it just seems to center around her. So you know, there's that. I think that, you know, as it goes, this is definitely one of the top episodes this season, but I would have liked to have seen the rest of the cast get to shine a little bit more rather than it just being Marsha. All right, so for those of you who do not want spoilers, go ahead and we will see you next week. Well, actually in a couple of weeks, because we're taking some time off for conventions, but we are now going to talk about some on-set spoilers, so we'll see you later. For the rest of you, oh my god, so cool! Oh my god. So
Yes.
So I work at Savannah College of Art and Design, and right next to us is Peachtree Christian Church.
Yep.
And I was driving into work on, I guess it was Tuesday or Wednesday, and all of a sudden I see all this, you know, movie set stuff up, and as I was driving by, there were people on the front steps of the church leading down, and in the time it took me to drive past, I looked and I went, those look like British military uniforms. That's, I mean, I'm not sure, but that's what it looks like. So I get inside, I start talking to students, and they said, oh my god, it's a funeral. And I'm like, oh, that would kind of make sense. That's
yes.
What it kind of looked like. And they talked about how there was, you know, there was a hearse earlier that day, and there was a coffin. Nobody mentioned the fact that it was a flag-draped coffin with a UK flag on it, which would
yes.
have been nice to know at the time, but it was. And, you know, so they were there pretty much all day filming. I saw some of the extras that were all wearing black. So again, it's gotta be a funeral. And it was funny. I came in and I was like, okay, it's a funeral for somebody British. And I'm like, I'm missing something really obvious here. And I asked a couple people, and it was, director Mike Faber of the Mothership ESO. Shout out to you, Mike. I was like, who would that be? And he's like, Peggy? And I was like, oh no, you're
yeah.
so right. Oh,
and it's, that's
sad.
Been kind of confirmed now, because one of the extras posted a photo of the, I don't know what you really call it, like a bulletin or a pamphlet or whatever.
Oh, I didn't
that they gave out
that
at the funeral that,
oh.
that says, you know, 1921 to,
right.
you know, 2015 or 2016 yeah. Margaret Peggy Carter.
Right. Yes. And I haven't seen that post, but I have an inside source who does a lot of extra work, who'd worked on Ant-Man previously, and he was involved in that particular shoot. He was one of the people that was inside for the funeral, and in fact, yes, it is Peggy Carter's funeral. I asked him who was there. Obviously, Captain America was there. Steve was one of the pallbearers, and somebody got mm-hmm. a couple of pictures of that with him carrying the coffin. But Falcon is also there, as well mm-hmm. as Sharon Carter.
Yes.
So that's pretty cool. I'm a little bit surprised that there weren't any other Avengers there. But I would think that people would be going to show some solidarity with him. But
right. Well, but, obviously, yeah. based on the events of Captain America: Winter Soldier, the three of them are the ones who would most likely be there at the funeral.
True. I was kind of hoping there was
believe pictures of Scarlett Johansson there
yeah,
as well.
Yeah. The person that I talked to hadn't. Yeah, that's right. I think I heard that there was pictures of her walking out of the church. The guy that I'm friends with hadn't seen her. But yeah, it would definitely make sense for Black Widow to be there, you know, since mm-hmm. she's very tight with Cap. So yes, I mean, as it's very sad, but on the other hand, you know, Peggy lived a very long and good life, and I don't think this is like a humongous spoiler. I mean, she was like in her 90s,
let me do the math real quick. Let's see. Yeah, I mean, she would have been 95.
Yeah, exactly. She's lived a very long and good life, and she was starting to get dementia in the last movie, which is just, you know, super sad. So mm-hmm. you know, it's I think it's an important plot point, you know, in that it's an important moment for Steve and for, you know, recognizing, you know, sort of what his legacy is, and you know, what he has lost along the way. I think it's an important character development thing, but I don't think that it's a humongous spoiler. But it was funny when I was like I said, it was right next to where I work. I was walking back from lunch. Mm-hmm. And I stopped to talk to a couple of the workmen, and I mean, I knew what it was. I mean, it was what else is there going to be? Oh, and right. there was a sign saying a motion picture is being filmed, and usually they have a different sign when it's a TV show. So it's like, gigantic motion picture being filmed in Atlanta right now. Yeah, I think I know what this is. But I walked up to one of the workmen and I said, yeah. So can you tell me, is this Captain America? And the guy looked at me and he kind of rolled his eyes and he said, no, ma'am, this is a mayonnaise commercial. It's always a mayonnaise commercial. And apparently that's a running joke, that for all Marvel movies, they say that it's a mayonnaise commercial. So so anyway, that's my big tip for that. They also filmed another scene that was in London, in Buckhead, which is the sort right. of ritzy hoity-toity section of Atlanta.
I'm familiar with that,
yes. And there's a bar up there called Fado, which is an Irish pub. I think it's kind of Disney-fied Irish. It's kind of over the top. But
But it looks authentic enough that they can film a scene there and
exactly.
make you believe that it's London.
Exactly. And they put some double-decker buses outside. And it was, I think it's interesting mm-hmm. that there were some sites that had said that both the church scene and the Fado scene were flashbacks, and they're not flashbacks, and
nope.
they were showing
they're very
London,
clearly going on in the modern day,
right? And they were showing you know, that there were black British cabs outside of Fado, and they're like, see these vintage cars. Those are not vintage. Those are
what... They still use them today.
Exactly. Those are what British cabs look like. So don't believe the hype that you see online, folks. Those are not flashback scenes. You heard it here first, unless you heard it somewhere else first. But you probably are just hearing this here first.
Yeah, from us first.
Exactly. That is what that is. That is Cap and friends being in London for Peggy's funeral. Of course, like I said, we know there's a Wakanda scene that's being filmed right now, and I'm sure there's going to be lots of other things being filmed over this summer, and we will definitely keep you informed as to those. We're going to be taking, as I mentioned, a couple of weeks off because oh my God, I am so crazy busy, and we're going to be having conventions. But after that, we're going to be back, and we're going to be doing a couple episodes on Daredevil, and we're going to have a couple of guests sit in for those. And then we've got a bunch of other things coming up over the summer. Of course, there's Ant-Man. We're going to do something on cosplay, some stuff about things that are coming up in Phase 3. So we won't be seeing you as often over the summer, but we will be back.
And we'll be here.
Eventually. And talk to us on our Facebook group. We love talking to people on there. We've got some great people and some great conversations going. So anyway, we will see you in a couple of weeks. And until then, have a great one.
A little bird once said to me, you gotta live a little before you're happy. And if you take a lot, you'll be left with none. I had to learn a bit, live a bit, let it all sink in a bit.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.